The first thing to come to grips with, and I don't have one with me, normally I would pull out a $100 bill. And you all know what that is. Let's say a $100 US bill. They're good for demonstrating, right? This is not a lesson in how to make counterfeits. But normally, we would take a look at one of these. What's the difference between a counterfeit note and a real one? Think about it. If you were a counterfeiter, you get the same paper. And then you print exactly the same image. And what you print will look the same, feel the same, smell the same, and not only that, it will have exactly the same words. It'll say American Reserve, or it'll say $100, or it'll say legal tender, or all those words that are on there. It'll even have the signatures and the Secretary of the Treasury, whatever they put on that note. Same in Australia, Canada, anywhere. So the words will be the same. The appearance will be the same. Not only that, if you happen to have one of these but didn't know it was counterfeit, you could wander into the hardware store here and buy a packet of screws. You know, $5, and hand it over, and the girl at the register will ring it up for you and give you the change, $95, and off you go. You've got your packet of screws and you've got your change. And you're happy. You don't know any different. But then the manager comes along and says, look, I need something from down the road. Run down and get me a coffee. Pulls that $100 out and hands it to her, and she runs down, comes back, and she comes back with $95 change. What's happened here? The counterfeit note is doing the same job. It's actually at work and producing some results. It's doing the thing the real thing is supposed to do. So how here, all of a sudden we have a counterfeit that says the same thing, appears in the same place, and will do the same work. But it's still a counterfeit. Now ask yourself, what makes it a counterfeit? If it can say the right words and do the same job, what's the difference then between the real banknote and the counterfeit banknote? It's not the words it puts out. It's not the work it tries to do. What's the difference? The difference, friends, is authority. Who issued it? Who issued that note? The truth is, the real note was issued by a governing authority that had the right to issue it, and it is legal. The other is issued by someone who did not have authority, had no right to issue it, and is taking advantage. It is masquerading. It is coming in, make it with all the right appearances so as to get personal advantage. That is the difference between, it turns out, the real ministers of Christ and most of the counterfeit ones. So a counterfeit minister, or particularly tonight we're discussing apostles, a counterfeit apostle can be someone who is a Christian, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, is called to the ministry, did become a pastor, does have spiritual gifts, and does preach the Word of God, but begins to believe they're an apostle when Christ did not appoint them as such, and begins to act in that role and get attention from others, and others think they're an apostle, but the whole thing is unauthorized, and it has ramifications. The ramifications of these are principally twofold. A genuine apostle sent from Christ is given an anointing. That anointing, invisible though it may be, is a grace that produces a certain life, produces a certain outcome in the long term in the life of churches. And submission to that leadership and the receiving of that grace produces life. Long-term outcomes. But the counterfeit apostle if received by the church, can often look better, can often preach better, can often produce miracles and signs and wonders. All of these things are available. But something is missing. At the core of this ministry, the genuine apostolic grace that produces long-term outcomes in the church is missing. Apostles are not the same as prophets and not the same as pastors. There is a specific grace, and especially it is to bring the church into long-term relationships of love that are very fruitful, rather than keeping the church program-oriented and going around in circles. The truth is, when you have even someone who looks good in ministry, but they're not a genuine apostle, they do not produce the outcomes. At the same time that that is happening, the false apostle, the counterfeit apostle, by occupying the place in the heart of people, in the heart of churches, has kept out or excluded the genuine apostles and genuine prophets that should have been there. So you not only mean, does it not only mean the church is not on track long term, but there are apostles who should have been rising and growing and finding a greater level of grace themselves who are pushed out, excluded, kept down because someone else has not only occupied the space, but by their claims, by the arrogance, by the ambition, kept other people low. This is the effect in the spirit realm. The interesting thing is that on that day that the Lord was showing me this, I'm driving to Launceston, and I get there, and I get into this meeting with the pastor, and he says, look, we've got a visitor here. And he named this other city in Australia. He said, look, he's just turned up looking for you. He heard that you were here, so he flew in. And so I meet this man as the senior pastor of a large work, and he'd brought with him his associate, and they said to me, we're having big trouble in our city with a false apostle. And we would like you to come and to teach in our city the genuine apostolic grace. And guess who it was they were talking about? The same person that very morning the Lord had said, I want you praying about this every day. And I won't tell you more of that story, but it was a process, and that thing now is no more. And the Lord dealt with it and put that whole thing back to bed, so to speak. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, had such a situation to deal with in Corinth. And that's what we're going to take a few minutes and look at. In the city of Corinth, Paul had this kind of situation arise where, after he'd been there and the church is established and pretty sizable, some others arose or came in who claimed to be great apostles. And from the reading of all of this, it would appear, it's certainly obvious that they, in terms of public ministry, were more interesting than Paul was. Their preaching and teaching thrilled the church a whole lot more. They seemed to be far better public speakers. They would have been working, you know, signs and wonders. In other words, in public ministry, they looked better than Paul. The trouble was, they weren't apostles. But they were presenting themselves, and not only were they presenting themselves, but the church there was esteeming them as the most eminent apostles. Although that might only be Paul's sarcastic term for whatever it was, because that's the term he uses. If you go back to old translations of the scriptures, it'll talk about Paul referring to these the most eminent apostles. But it's a sarcastic comment. And your modern translations will refer to them as so-called super apostles. But there they were, in public ministry, the church saying, oh, these are better apostles than Paul. But something was wrong. They were of a different spirit. And see, that is something that's not terribly obvious to most people. and it's the long term that shows it. Now, I'm going to show you in the scriptures how Paul dealt with this and what he said about it. So we're going to run through some scriptures. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter now. In fact, what am I saying? 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11 is the key chapter, but it's interesting how numbers of things are said leading up to it. And Paul, I can see that Paul, in writing 2 Corinthians, knew of this big problem, knew that in the course of this letter he would come to the place where he took it full on and dealt with it, but you can find traces along the way of him positioning himself for this argument he's about to present. Because he's got to make a claim upon that church to give their heart to real apostles. He's got to say something about what real apostles are, and then he's finally going to drop the bombshell on false apostles. So this is no time for an exhaustive study of the whole book, but I'm going to show you a few of the things that lead up to it, all in this one book.